Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
So you wanna play with magic? Boy, you should know what you're falling for. Baby, do you dare to do this? 'Cause I'm coming at you like a dark horse.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. And Sean, it's going to be an action-packed show. Three big-time guests, two former NFL players tonight.
Man, I like the intro, the song, Playing with Magic, Sean Wally. And yes, of course, we have some awesome guests, but I want to talk about the magic of the NFL, man. Week four is here. And when you're talking about playing with magic, you're talking about the NFL and their league rule changes. And what I'm talking about are the field goals and the extra point that was put in place and the pressure that it must have put on all place kickers in the NFL. My goodness, 11 field goals missed, or actually 11 place kickers missing field goals over the past weekend. That really changed the course of a lot of close contests this past weekend, Sean Wally.
Yeah, kickers have been losing jobs left and right in the NFL. Just ask Josh Scobie after he missed not one, but two potentially game-winning field goals for the Pittsburgh Steelers Thursday night.
Gosh, you know, you never cease to amaze me when you bring up former Seahawk players. Josh Scobie, a former Seahawk player, Pittsburgh Steeler, misses a couple of field goals. But hey, there are some other guys that are on the schneid right now. Jason Myers of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Kyle Brinza of the Tampa Bay Bucks, and Caleb Sturgis, who replaced Cody Parker for the Philadelphia Eagles. This guy couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, cost their teams the victories over the past weekend, man. And, boy, what do you make of that? You move the ball back about 10 yards, and these guys go crazy, and they can't find the uprights.
Well, Sean, we'll get to that a little bit later in the show, but right now we've got to go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines. Welcome in big-time guest number one tonight, and that is former Oakland Raider draft pick Philip Buchanan, former NFL player turned entrepreneur and author. Philip, thanks for taking time away from Monday Night Football tonight.
Oh, I definitely appreciate it, man. It's definitely a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, yeah, you know, Philip, I'm excited because, for one, you were drafted by the Oakland Raiders. You know, in a good time, man, in 2002, things were looking up. And I know the first year you're thinking, man, things were going to be onward and upward as far as the franchise is concerned. And then after your rookie year, man, things just kind of, man, I don't know what happened. Maybe you could tell me.
Oh, things were very good starting off when I first got to Oakland. It was very exciting. We went to the Super Bowl. We didn't win it, unfortunately. But, like, I thought that it was going to be a recurring theme as far as us being in the playoffs and doing a lot of wonderful things. We had a lot of great veteran leadership. And things just kind of fell apart. It's just one of those things that just kind of happened. Like, man, what happened? So,
well, man, you came in on the scene, and there was you, and then, of course, there was Charles Woodson, and then Rod Woodson on the tail end of his career. And, you know, and then, of course, Nnamdi Asamoah coming in a little bit later. It looked like the sky was the limit, man. And of course, you were just flying around to the ball and doing some awesome things. It was a pleasure to watch you play in the silver and black uniform, my friend.
Oh, it was definitely a pleasure to play there, man. I mean, I definitely enjoyed myself. It was a lot of things that were definitely new to me. Like just like my book, you know, New Money. It was everything new money, new scene coming to California, Oakland. The fans welcomed me with open arms. I really enjoyed myself. It was definitely a different experience coming from Miami, where everything was kind of like, you know, South Beach, the beach, you know, all the women and playing football, you know, for the Hurricanes. And it's very similar coaches as far as, like, as far as like the bad boy image, as far as college and NFL. So I definitely enjoy myself.
Now, of course, Philip, you mentioned your new book came out in March, I believe, titled New Money. And boy, I mean, you know, the media caught a hold of that a little bit. And there are some things that you explained, some uncomfortable things that you explained as far as becoming a professional athlete and the things that it entailed as far as, you know, family, friends, and the whole nine. Give our listeners an idea on what the book is like.
Like my book, with new money comes a lot of headache. You don't need aspirin. You just need new money staying rich. Like when you first get a lot of money, and this is real, when you first get a lot of money, you're dealing with money and family. You're dealing with money and friends. You're dealing with money and bad business deals. You're dealing with brokers who make you broker. You deal with financial molesters, a.k.a. financial advisors. It was a lot of stuff that I just wasn't prepared for. So I had a nice long talk with my aunt and a lot of my closest friends, and they said, man, you should really write a book about this stuff because nobody has really, really went in on it. And they said, you know, my friend said that, like, you're kind of creative too, so just kind of add your creativity to it. And so I kind of just added my creativity to it and just kind of went from there. And I made myself vulnerable, you know, because I was trying to educate guys that who were coming behind me. So I just kind of put it out there, and hopefully more guys will write a book very similar to this so we can kind of share the story so guys can learn from this and not go broke, because it's 70%, 80% of guys go broke after they're done playing within 2 years. That's a high number.
Former NFL defensive back Philip Buchanan joining us here on the double. And Philip, as you're talking about new money, staying rich, one of your many books, what do you think the biggest issue is on how and why guys coming into new money don't necessarily know how to handle it?
The biggest issue is we don't have enough experience. Majority of the guys that come in and get that type of money, because all your life you're playing football, from Little League football, which we call it Pop Warner in Florida, high school, college. We're so focused on playing football, but we're not focused on how to make your money make money for you. We're not focused on what to do with your money. We're not focused on how you should spend your money. And the only thing that we're really good at is just really blowing your money and spending it on stupid stuff or stuff that you think is just cool for right now. And it's just one of those things that we haven't logged in enough hours to understand the value of a dollar. And that's why I created one of my little children books. It's called The Little Phil's New Money Friends, and it's a nursery rhyme for kids. It's $1, $2, $3, $4. If you don't respect me, I won't be around anymore. And that's exactly how it is. And so since I didn't know about money, I thought it was very important for me to create some children's books that's based around money. But the biggest issue is just having the right mentors around you, having the right type of friends around you, and trying to educate yourself right away to make sure that you can actually handle the money.
Should we put any part of the blame on the school system, even all the way through college, that there's not enough taught to us on how to handle finances at any level, but especially at an elite athlete level in the professional ranks?
The blame can go a lot of different ways, but it just depends on how you were raised. And if your family background comes from money, or if your family background has an understanding of money, they can teach you some good values where you can actually figure out a way to learn and grow and learn better values from what your family taught you. Like, some, you know, coming from where I came from, all we knew how to do was just spend the money. You know, majority of all my family members and cousins, they were drug dealers. So, you know, you spent the money and you enjoyed it and kind of did it like that. So, and even in my book, I explained, like, my uncle Curtis, when he died when I was young, he's a drug dealer. And he always told me, he said, look, like, you're going to make it playing professional sports. You know, this is not what you're going to do, so focus on that. And that's kind of the direction, you know, that I kind of went in. But it's just that you can kind of blame it on the school system. And I would say if they could, like, you know, try to have it in the curriculum for college, I would say your first year in college, your third year in college, because the reason why, because a lot of NBA players leave after the first year, and a lot of the NFL players leave after the third year. And then we got to try to mix it in there and maybe get into your senior year so we can give you somewhat of an understanding of of a balance sheet, you know, or of, you know, like, of if you get $1 million, this is what you should do with it. This is how you should invest stuff and build your investment portfolio like a house. You know, start off with, you know, safe investments, and then work your way up to the 7-8%, and then, you know, then you can take more risk. But first, you got to build the foundation first.
Former NFL DB Philip Buchanan joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And now, you know, Philip, one of the things that we're finding out in society here is that you're not alone as far as what has gone on with you, as far as how family members, friends, and everybody kind of come out of the woodworks. I don't know if you've had the chance to watch the Stars series, Survivor's Remorse. You have a couple of characters, Cam Calloway and Reggie Vaughn. They come out of Boston. And, you know, he's a basketball player. It's actually produced by LeBron James. I'm wondering if LeBron actually contacted you at all, because he mentioned he talked to a few athletes about his storyline.
Excuse me. No, I haven't. I haven't really. I saw a little bit of it, but I haven't really seen it. Like, I've heard some good things about it. I haven't really got around to it and stuff like that, because I've just been focused on me. But if that show was out there, I mean, that show was definitely needed. I mean, we just got to try to get it out there as much as we can. Some players will get it. Some players won't. You know, like, it's just crazy. Some players will try to focus on trying to figure things out from the beginning, and it takes some players to actually almost test the bottom and actually blow all their money and almost pretty much go broke for them to really have a better understanding of what they should have done with their money. But it's just one of those things that you just hope that a lot of players can get around to doing the right thing before it's too late. It's man, it's real.
It's something that, you know, we have to be aware of. And of course, you know, you being young, being an NFL player, being young as well, just not understanding the ramifications of it all. And of course, like I had mentioned, you know, Survivors from Remorse. And of course, there's a show called Ballers with The Rock, Dwayne Johnson on there, you know, that actually tell the stories on how you guys have overcome things as athletes, or try to overcome these situations at an early age.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of things that just happen on there. We're just not really educated on it. And the TV show Ballers is out there too. Now, I've seen a little bit of the Ballers, and it's pretty much dead on, but I think it could be a little bit. I think the Ballers TV show is holding back a little bit. I think it can, because how can HBO produce Entourage, which is a great show? How can they produce Sopranos, which is a good show, and it seems so real? And then they produce the Game of Thrones, and it seems so real. I think Ballers is kind of holding back. So I think they're kind of missing a guy like me to come in and kind of say, like, man, this is, like, realistic. Like, I really was out there doing that. And, like, you know, then I could kind of, like, give my input and just kind of see if it matches up with it. But, but it is what it is. So, unfortunately, I hope I can get my own TV show.
Yeah, you know, I tend to agree with you. I did see the 30 for 30, the you, man, and you brought it down, man. No doubt. Man. So,
hey, man, it was real, man. Like, just playing at Miami, it's a different lifestyle. It's a different, like a lot of people understand, like, the Miami Hurricanes is very similar to the Raiders as far as, like, the way things kind of worked out as far as, like, in the 80s. Because in the 80s, that's what Raiders were like the bad boys of the NFL. And the Canes were the bad guys in college. So it's crazy, but it was for real.
Philip, going from the U, the University of Miami, where things had to be great, as you mentioned, South Beach, you know, great teams, girls all around, spring break, all that, to the Oakland Raiders, where at the time they were great. You know, they had the mystique, they were playing well. What do you recall about receiving that first check, that signing bonus, and seeing that huge check? What were your thoughts, and what was your first purchase?
Well, I had already spent some money already. So if you read my book, I talk about, like, there's a lot of things that I wish I could have done a lot. You know, if I'd have been a little bit more patient and took my time as far as spending money. Like, I was already probably close to almost like $1 million in the hole, because, you know, when people tell you you're going first round, possibly top 10, you know, you start to spend money. But that's what, like I said, I wasn't educated on knowing how to handle the money. But, like, coming from Miami, it was just, man, playing in Miami, the women, just the college lifestyle, and just having fun. Like, you just people taking care of you. And then when I went to came to, like, went from Miami, and I came from Miami to go to Oakland, it was a little different, you know, because in Oakland, it's like the Bay Area. It's not L.A. Like, L.A. is a little bit more kind of close to Miami as far as, like, you know, as far as, like, the way things kind of operate and work. And Oakland was a little bit slower. No, it wasn't as fast paced as Miami. Miami we can go on a boat, you know, we can be with girls, we can go to the club, nightlife, you see celebrities, you see everything. Like, it's just so many different things you can do. And Oakland was a little bit different, at least for me it was. So it was a little different where as far as like I was so used to doing a lot of things where I couldn't. But when I first got my first check, man, that was everything that I worked for. Like, when I was 10 years old, I told myself that I was going to make it either Major League Baseball or professional football. So that was a part of the dream. And when I set out to try to get that dream, I was like 10 years old. So that was very, very fulfilling.
Now, you've talked about in articles and in your books that family came to you and asked for money straight out the gate right away. How did you handle that, and what did you learn about your true friends in life?
Dealing with money and family. When I first, actually doing draft day, it was doing draft day, and, you know, I was supposed to be going top 10, and you got a lot of family members around, everybody. You got a bunch of people who kind of grew up with you, and everybody's watching draft with you. And, like, you know, my mom, you know, like I said, I love my mom, regardless of whatever, you know, the way she said it, you know, the way it came across, she just said that I owed her $1 million. At first, I thought she was joking. I was like, yeah, I owe you $1 million. I mean, I'm going to get your house and a car, but so that's fine. But then she came back and said it again. I was like, man, she is really serious about this $1 million. Like, I think it was a joke, but no, this is serious. And so at the same time, all this stuff is going on, and, like, and I went from I was supposed to go in the top 10, but then I dropped out of the top 10. And so now I was getting all these phone calls from the 5th pick to, like, the 12th pick. And then all the phone calls stopped. And so we're arguing, and my family's saying, well, see, if you went with this agent, say, you know, he could have got you picked the 6th pick, the 7th pick, and, you know, everything would have been better. And I was like, man, this is just crazy. Something like, we should be happy, man. Like, I mean, I was thinking, my dream was to get drafted and play in the NFL. I mean, whatever happens. I mean, yeah, I was supposed to go top 10, but it didn't happen that way. And then we just watching TV, and with the 17th pick, the Oakland Raiders select Phillip Buchanan. I did not get a phone call. I didn't get anything, like, just nothing. But it's so funny because when my name flashed across the bottom of the screen, that's when New Money was born, and that's kind of where the book started. Like, I'm talking about all the stuff that I went through in the book, so that's where it came from, man. But hey, I'm going to take it back. I mean, everything that I went through, man, like, I definitely enjoyed it. It's just an experience. I hope I'm trying to share my story, and hopefully guys don't have to go through everything that I went through, and they can be more better prepared for it. So did I answer your question, or did I leave it?
Yeah, oh, no, man, you answered it spot on. Okay. Philip Buchanan joining us here on The Double. And, man, Philip, one of the things that you had mentioned in your book, Chapter 3, I believe, you're talking about adult abusers. And gee whiz, man. And you said it started, you know, right there from the draft. And, you know, you could kind of say that the Oakland Raiders were in on that. If they didn't give you a call or your name just popped up right on the bottom of the screen, I mean, life started for you right then and there. Did it affect your play? I guess that's my question. Did that affect your play, you know, going into the NFL?
In all honesty, I don't think it really totally affected my play, because – like, it was just, like, when I'm playing a game, I'm playing a game. But, like, when I'm done playing a game, then I got to deal with all the other issues. So I would say it definitely affected me, like, when I was in Oakland, like, by myself. And when I was, you know, when I went home from the game sometimes, like, I could never really understand. I tell myself, like, man, why can't people understand that, like, it's really not what you see? Because, like, my check was $4 million, but the tax, you know, like, I had to pay a lot to Uncle Sam. I got to pay for my lifestyle. I got to pay my agent, I gotta pay for all this other stuff. And in their mind, they're just like, you know, if you got two or three houses, we gotta have two or three houses. If you got two or three cars, we gotta have two or three cars. I'm thinking, like, how you gonna get the same thing I got when I was the one that kind of was on the field working out and doing all this stuff? So how you gonna get all the stuff I'm gonna get? Like, so it was just one of those things I deal with. But mainly, like, if you have a good structure, if you have a good team structure, a good foundation and great leaders and stuff like that, like, you can actually work through that. Unfortunately, you know, around the time when I was in Oakland, we had a bunch of superstars, and, you know, they they just operate a little different. I wasn't used to the style of how they did things. But, you know, in my mind, I just said, like, maybe this is kind of how you do it in NFL or in Oakland. Because in Miami, we worked together. We watched film together. We did everything together. In Oakland, we didn't really do a whole lot of stuff together as far as, like, players. But like I said, I can't, you know, you can't knock, like, other players because they have families and they're dealing with other issues. So that was definitely different for me because I saw myself hanging out with Charles Woodson, watching a lot of film. We didn't really watch a lot of film like that. And, you know, like, and like I said, he was young, too, so he was doing different things. It just, I saw things being a little bit different, you know, like when I got to Oakland, and it wasn't what I kind of expected to be. And so just got to kind of go out there and make a play.
Now, of course, we mentioned the Oakland Raiders. You had a great career playing with the Houston Texans and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which you really shined with the Bucs, Detroit Lions, and then with the Washington Redskins. I mean, now, I guess my question is when you came in as a rookie, of course, they have what's called rookie symposiums in the NFL now. Has the NFL reached out to you at all as far as, you know, telling your story at the rookie symposiums?
Yeah, I actually went this year. I went to the rookie symposium this year, and I shared my story. And I'm trying to think of the three things that I kind of – what were the three things I emphasized when I went there? I went to the AFC. So the Raiders were actually there, like, when I was at the symposium. So I saw Amari Cooper, and I saw the Raiders. I saw, like, all – just the whole AFC side. And I said – I think the three biggest things I really talked about was really having a team of mentors, being a little bit more patient, and then watching – how many friends that you have, and using the word no. Using the word no is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. So you got to be able to say no because people are going to ask you all type of stuff. So you got to be able to use that. But I think those were some of the things that I talked about just in general. A lot of guys raised their hand and asked me questions. And I was just trying to share the story, you know, so we can knock that percentage down from 80 to 70, you know, like, and knock it down from 70 to 60, you know, like, and but we won't really see the real benefits of my book until maybe 5 or 10 years later, but I put it out there, and like I said, hopefully other guys will write other books, and hopefully guys can really kind of catch on to it and go from there. But I also created a new money board game, too, a new money staying rich board game. I actually have it with me right now. I'm trying to work out the kinks, and it should be official very soon. So it's very similar to my book. It'll be connected, and we'll go from there. So it's like Monopoly. It's not exactly like Monopoly, but it's similar to Monopoly, like get the personality cards and stuff like that, and then, you know, you got to do certain things to win the game. But it shows you, like, when you get a lot of money, like, you know, like, it's like, it's showing you, like, you know, like, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. So it's kind of, but it's in a fun way of kind of, you know, of how to kind of play, like, board games. So.
Now, Philip, with all the teams that you played for in the NFL, is there one that you feel more tied to than the other? Maybe Oakland, because you were drafted there, or, you know, any of the other teams? Who do you feel most tied to out of the teams that you played for?
I feel tied most to the Oakland, though, because Oakland was the first team that I played for, though. Like, I really, even though I don't really talk to them like Oakland people like that because I'm in Miami. But I would say my ties between, I would definitely say Oakland and Tampa Bay. Like, everybody else was cool. Like, I ain't gonna lie, like, I love the city of Houston. I hated football when I played for them. Like, I love the people I met in Detroit, but I hated the football stuff when I was in Detroit, and just because of the coaching and all the people they had around there. And Washington was good. It just wasn't. Overall, I would say I probably enjoyed more football than Tampa. But Tampa played football like how we did in Miami. Like, it made sense. We watched film together. We did everything. We broke down film. It was a very comforting situation, and that's kind of how I thought that things would be when I first got to the NFL. Like, that's kind of how I thought of it. Like, Bruce, Derek Thomas, he was a great leader. Ronnie Barber, great leader. Like, they were vocal, and we talked about a lot of different things, and I learned a lot of things from just being around them. Like, it was just different. Tampa was definitely different. So between Oakland and Tampa, but I give the nod to Oakland because they drafted me, but I love everything about Tampa, too, though. And plus, Tampa's in Florida, so, you know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt.
Well, Philip, I can tell you that my co-host there, Sean Boyd, is liking the fact that you said Oakland because that's, number one, his favorite team. But also, his uncle played for them in the 70s, Nehemiah Wilson. So, great ties to Oakland there here on the double.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I love everything about Oakland. I love my whole experience. regardless of whatever happened, man. That was fun. Like, I ain't gonna lie, Oakland was fun, regardless of whatever happened. So I definitely loved it. It was fun for me.
Now, Philip, of course, there are some things going on this year with the Oakland Raiders actually trying to turn things around. And, of course, they hit a speed bump yesterday against the Chicago Bears. What are some things that you see that Oakland could get better at, you know, to help themselves and put themselves in playoff contention?
You know what? I had a feeling you were going to ask me some football questions about Oakland. But the reason why I'm going to say it is because, like, I haven't really been paying attention to football. Like, I haven't really been, because I've just been focused on, like, my business stuff and doing different things. And people say, man, you can't watch football? I'm like, yeah, I can watch football. Honestly, I don't have cable, and that's my choice, because I can think more. And then when I hang out with some of my UM guys, you know, like, we'll hang out and go to the Southeast and we're watching games, but I'm not necessarily really paying attention like that. So I really can't answer that question, but, like, I forgot to really, like, focus on the game before we did the interview, so I just been so busy doing a lot of stuff. So I'm actually learning how to write code, too. I'm taking this course where I'm going to learn how to, like, create websites and then eventually create apps. So it's like an 8-week course and stuff like that, because I got some app ideas that I want to work on. Like, that would have been beneficial for me to, like, know about that stuff when I was in Oakland then, because, man, me and Mark Zuckerberg should have met up. Life would have been so much better.
Hey, Mark Zuckerberg should have hooked up with us all, man.
I know, man.
Philip Buchanan doing great things, broadening his own skills, his own horizons. And go ahead and head on to Amazon and check out your new money books. And the board game will be out soon. Philip Buchanan, we appreciate your time. What a great story. Thanks for your insight tonight here on The Double.
Thank you, Philip.
Oh, man, I definitely appreciate it. Yeah, I definitely appreciate it. Y'all can have me anytime. I definitely enjoyed this. So feel free to have me anytime, man.
All right, we're going to hold you to it, man.
Absolutely. Be careful what you wish for. Philip Buchanan, thank you so much.
Man, all right, I tell you. See y'all later. Boy, I tell you, man, Philip, he's working so hard in his business ventures and everything. He doesn't have the time to actually see what's going on in the NFL. That's somebody that's on the grind. I can't hold it against him for that. Board games coming out, kids' books as well. Of course, make sure that you get out and purchase his book. As Sean Wally had mentioned on Amazon, New Money, Staying Rich, about $12 for the paperback. Didn't get a chance to ask him a couple other questions, but man, it's great to have him on. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to have guest number two on. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on The Double with the Double S Express.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400. The safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. And let's go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in one of our favorite guests here on the Double, and that is former NFL player Nick Ferguson. Nick, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, nothing, man. It is Monday night football, fellas.
Man, how did I know that you were locked into Monday night football? Of course, the Seattle Seahawks and the Detroit Lions. Who do you have for this game?
Well, this was one was an easy one, fellas. I mean, you talk about the fact that the Seattle Seahawks were looking a little dismantled and out of sorts earlier. You know, Cam Chancellor, now they get Cam back and they play two games at home. It's almost as though the football gods bless Pete Carroll. I mean, you host two games at home and, you know, those games, you mean, you play in the Detroit Lions. I mean, that's a gift within itself if you want a W. So they're winning right now, but I took the Seahawks in this one. That was an easy one.
Yeah, you're right. Of course, Seattle started on the road and took their lumps a little bit 0-2 and without Cam Chancellor. But now with Cam back, I mean, he's starting to catch his groove here, and the Seahawks look like they are riding the ship as they're, doing pretty good against the Detroit Lions at home.
Well, you know what? That's the thing in the NFL. You know, you have to win the game that you are expected to win, and to host the Detroit Lions that seem to have so many issues and deficiencies across the board. And watching this game, I mean, you know, you have a guy like Megatron, you know, as big as he is, but you can't get the ball to him. When you can't do that, and everyone's been talking about the fact of Matthew Stafford arm, and I get sick and tired of hearing about this NFL arm, but if you can't get the ball down the field vertically, it makes it really difficult to take advantage of that so-called NFL arms. But they haven't been able to protect their quarterback in any of these games. So, I mean, you can talk about the receivers, you can talk about the arm, but if you don't give a quarterback protection and he doesn't have time to stand in there, step in the pocket, and deliver the ball downfield, it really make no sense even having that discussion.
Now, Nick, almost 4 weeks into the NFL season, once this game concludes, what are your biggest surprises after 4 weeks?
Wow. You know what? The biggest surprise is when I look at it is, you know, the Atlanta Falcons. And you look at Dan Quinn and spent some time with the Seattle Seahawks, and you were wondering how he was going to bring that type of Pete Carroll philosophy into the Atlanta Falcons locker room and have them to buy in. And it's always difficult when a new coach comes in and he's bringing his own coaching staff, he's bringing his own plays, his own scheme, and the adjustment period. And it doesn't seem like the adjustment period took too long. It just looked like they bought in training camp, and now they're seeing the fruits of their labor right now. And the problem that this team had was the inability to run the ball. And now with Devontae Freeman running the ball, it loosens up the secondary so much, and they're doing a better job at protecting Matt Ryan. And once again, we're talking about Matthew Stafford. When you give your quarterback an opportunity and with protection and you build that umbrella, as I like to call it, now he can throw the ball down the field. This is a totally different Atlanta Falcons team, and this could be one of those teams that can play or challenge the Green Bay Packers in that NFC division.
And the Falcons are a team that have been on the cusp for the last few years. On paper, you would think they should be better than they have. But now, through the first quarter of the season, they're 4-0 and perfect.
Yeah, you know, once again, I go back to what this division looked like, you know, last year. You had the Carolina Panthers who won the division with a record of 7-8-1. And it was surprising that they won a division. They got into the playoffs, and they won in the first round, beating the Arizona Cardinals. But now, what a difference, you know, a year makes, the changing of a philosophy, you know, no more Mike Smith, you bring in Dan Quinn. I mean, so it's been a whole kind of culture shift with these Atlanta Falcons. And right now, both they and the Panthers are sitting along at top in that division at 4-0. So it's going to be really interesting to see how things break down. Of course, the Saints got an extra win last night on Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys in dramatic fashion. So this division is going to be very interesting considering the fact how it ended last season.
Nick Ferguson joining us here on the Double. And of course, Nick, we would be remiss if we didn't get a chance to talk about one of your former teams, the Denver Broncos. Now, they're not a surprise to you, but of course, to the rest of the NFL, it seems like 4-0 is maybe where the Denver Broncos should be. But at the beginning of the season, there was a little bit of talk as to wondering, you know, if Peyton Manning lost a step or, you know, if his arm was the same. What do you think about the Denver Broncos and their start this year?
Well, here's what I'll say, fellas. You know, remember when you were 16, how you would roll out of bed and you were just really spry? You can go to sleep at 1 in the morning and get up at 6 and you're ready to go for school. But now, you guys probably can't do that same thing. The same thing is with Peyton Manning. So I tell people, no, he is not the Peyton Manning of old. So stop comparing him to the Peyton Manning who was in the Colts uniform. He's a different guy. And I think the reason he is receiving a lot of criticism because what he's put up over these years, the statistics that he's done as far as throwing per game, and then last year, you know, the touchdowns and breaking Brett Favre's record, but he's not the same person. And he's now winning in a different way than we are usually used to seeing him win ball games, and that's defensively. And for him, I'm sure it's a blessing. I mean, all his years with the Indianapolis Colts, that was something that he could not do. He didn't have a solid defense that returned the ball over. Yeah, you had Mathis, you had Dwight Freeney, and then you had Bob Sanders when he was healthy. But now you got DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller. And Wade Phillips has revamped that defense. And I knew when he came in, he had a lot of pieces, more pieces on this defense than he had with the Houston Texans. So I'm not too surprised at what I'm seeing offensively. Not that surprised what I'm seeing, you know, defensively as well. But anytime you have a defense that can turn the ball over, win ball games for you, it bodes well for you. And give you guys a great example of it. You know, you look at Russell Wilson and his two trips to the Super Bowl. There's a couple of things that they did well. One of those things where they ran the ball well with Marshawn Lynch and eating up clock. Also, he didn't turn the ball over. But the biggest thing, and we talk about it tonight, is the Legion of Boom and what they were able to do defensively. And for Peyton Manning, he's leaning on that till he gets himself, you know, where he needs to be and that running game gets on track. But I think people are worrying too much about nothing at this particular point. Let's wait a couple more games and see if he has adjusted. But it's great to have a defense like they have right now in Denver.
You know, I like the analogy that you had as far as, you know, being young and being seasoned. It's like that gym rat when you play basketball. You know, the young kids think that they're going to actually run everybody out of the gym. And then there are the old guys that come in with the goggles. They've got the knee braces on and they're playing fundamental basketball and they just wipe the youngsters out. That's what I'm envisioning when you say that Peyton Manning is more seasoned and he knows what to do. He's crafty and he makes things happen.
Well, yeah, because what you have to do is as you get older and you know that, you know, you can't do the same things that you used to do, you know, that's when, like you said, the example, the old guy with the goggles, he's a veteran. He has that experience. So he knows, as they say, how to beat that whippersnapper. He does it with being very fundamentally sound, but more importantly, you know what your limitations are. And that's the biggest thing. Okay, I can't do this anymore, so now I have to change my game. We saw, you know, just kind of go to NBA really quickly, we saw Michael Jordan in his heyday. I mean, he was used to dunk and win dunk contests, but he realized he had to expand his game. He worked on his jump shot because he knew he just couldn't dunk, you know, forever in the NBA. And that's the one thing that made him a great player. When you get older, and Peyton Manning understands this, you know, I have to change my game. I'm not the same person. So now that whole cerebral part of him, he now has to use that and then now rely on his other pieces around him. And just so happens for him, he's relying heavily on his defense.
Nick Ferguson joining us here on the Double. Nick, what's your take on the injuries at the quarterback position? Star quarterbacks, Tony Romo, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, etc., missing time already in the first quarter of the season.
Well, it is one of those things that, you know, was kind of inevitable. You play in the NFL, the game is very physical. We see other guys at other positions, you know, go down and have injuries. But when you're a quarterback, you touch the ball on every single play. Everyone is gunning for you. On the defensive side of the ball, there's 11 guys that are trying to bring you down. At some point, one of these marquee quarterbacks were going to go down. Now, I think what's going to happen is, you know, it's going to cause the league to kind of look at the injuries that these guys are kind of sustaining, because they know, as everyone continues to say, it's a quarterback-driven league. When you don't have those marquee quarterbacks in, it changes the dynamic. You know, people are not maybe tuning in as much as they would normally tune in, because if Scott Tolzien is in for, let's just say, for Aaron Rodgers, and they're playing the 49ers, and it's both Scott Tolzien and Blaine Gabbert, that's not a game that people want to see. People want to see the marquee quarterbacks play and duel it out. So it's very interesting that we're seeing a lot of quarterbacks, you know, have these injuries, but it was one of those things that were going to happen, you know, at some point.
From a player's perspective, are games in London, the international series, is that just a major headache for players, or is that something that they might actually enjoy?
Well, for those who've never taken a trip across the pond, I mean, it is a spectacle. You know, you get a chance to do something that you might not ever get an opportunity to do. But if you're a guy who's been there before, and the Jacksonville Jaguars have been there before, the Patriots have been there multiple times, then it's just, for them, it's just agonizing for them, because now they have to go over, you have to deal with jet lag, you have to stay up, you have to play this game, you have to fly back home, but luckily you get that long bye and that long layover to kind of get you back on track. But it can be really difficult for organizations, because you're talking about moving a lot of moving parts. I mean, you're transporting, you know, film machines, equipment, anything to make the guys feel at ease and feel at home, you know, over in the UK, and make a normal game situation, you know, seem just that, like it's normal game day and you're playing, you know, at home. So it has its disadvantages, but I guess from the league standpoint, they feel the advantages outweigh the disadvantages as far as trying to get the UK fans to buy into the NFL with the hopes of possibly moving the NFL team over to the UK. And there's been a lot of talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, but if I am an NFL fan from the UK, I'm not really sold on that particular organization, because if you're going to bring the Jacksonville Jaguars over, or any team, you want them to be a successful franchise, so it's not one big waste.
And one of the disadvantages, of course, that we didn't mention is if you're the losing team coming back from London, it seems like two out of the past 3 years, you have lost your job, man. I mean, that it's no joke. If you're going over there to play football and you come back a loser, man, the owners are stopping the coach right as he gets off the plane and saying, "Hey, bro, no, this is it. This is the this is your stop here." So some tough stuff going on.
Yeah, it is. You know what? It's kind of funny, because it is true. It's like, give us your passport. That's it. The ride is over, buddy. But if you're a losing team like the Miami Dolphins experienced, and there were talks about your coach being a fire if you guys drop that game, that's a long flight to Miami. Could you imagine, you know, the Ross family saying, "Well, we know we're going to fire Joe Philbin. He has an idea. So do the players. Do we wait till we get into, you know, U.S. airspace to do it? And if you do it before that, but now you got to sit on that ride, knowing that you were just fired, knowing that you were the players that led to your coach being fired, and you got to sit there for the duration of that flight and deal with that. That's tough. That's tough.
You know, we dealt with it here in Oakland, of course. You know, Dennis Allen, once he got off the plane, same thing happened, man. So something about going over there to London and losing.
If I am a head coach, and let's just say fast forward to 2016, and you see on your schedule there's a trip to London, I just say, you know, make sure you call your wife beforehand, make sure all the bags are packed, just in case, as soon as we get back, they give me the notice, we can just get out of town right away.
Oh, man. Well, of course, man, we would be remiss to having you on the show without talking about your radio show and Sky Sports and some of the things that are going on. So what's on the agenda for your show?
Well, you know, I want to kind of delve into this whole situation with Joe Philbin, but I'm trying to be really delicate with it, because, fellas, you have to understand, I mean, I grew up in Miami as a Miami fan. As I got older, I changed, and I say, listen, Miami has disappointed me so many times, I have to move on and root for another team. But the biggest part is my dad. My dad is a huge Miami fan. I mean, diehard fan. And he has his belief, fellas, that in his lifetime, you know, the Dolphins are going to repeat that undefeated season. I say, Dad, I love you dearly. You know, I would not want you to pass and leave this earth, but that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in your lifetime, and it's not going to happen in my lifetime. So you might as well get over. So I'm trying to be really delicate on that subject matter, but I definitely have to touch it. So that's one of the things I'll probably touch on this week on the show. And then, you know, talk a little college football. UCLA seem to be doing well. They lost to Arizona State, but, you know, can they get themselves back into the playoff picture? So it's sports as usual. It's MLB season, so we'll see what happens.
Well, here's one thing that you could possibly talk about. We just had our first guest on, Phil Buchanan, a former DB such as yourself, and he talks about his new book, New Money Staying Rich. And he talked about, you know, some of the perils of a young athlete coming into the NFL and, you know, how your family and friends and everybody's coming around you and they come out of the woodworks, you know, pecking away at your money. Did you ever experience anything like that when you first came into the NFL?
You know, really quickly, you know, I kind of ran across Phil because we run in, you know, similar circles or play with a lot of University of Miami guys. No, I've never had that situation happen to me, but I did read something about his mother saying, okay, well, she raised him. He was a first-round draft choice. So it's almost like he owed her in that fashion and owed her in the form of like $1 million. So he paid for her house, and he had a house. He was trying to get her out of the house, but then she was using the house that he purchased for her to rent out to another relative. And no, I'm glad I didn't have, you know, those situations. And, you know, yeah, you do have the other part as far as maybe some uncles and aunts or whatever. But for me, it was mostly, you know, females that I had to worry about. You know, those individuals who are trying to clean like leeches to professional athletes. And I think that's the biggest thing we definitely have to worry about as athletes, you know, those individuals coming out of the woodworks. But being able to have a solid ground foundation around you, I think it helps out a lot with that situation.
Well, man, that's a whole nother show that we get into some of the things that you've been talking about.
That's a whole nother animal. Yeah. That's a whole nother animal, fellas.
But, hey, I did want to touch base since you brought it up. You brought up college football, man. I got to bring up your alma mater, the Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech.
Oh, come on, man.
they started. Well, come on. I mean, they did okay. They did okay. I mean, they played a tough team in North Carolina, and let's face it, Duke is playing out of their minds this year. But, you know, the Fighting Irish, of course, that game was a close game as well. But what ails you is when you play these teams such as, you know, Tulane and Alcorn State, now you're putting up 60 spots, man, so I think they're on their way.
Well, see, you know what, that is the problem I have when I look at the college football landscape. We go from the BCS to the college football playoff scene. And there's a lot of teams that have a lot of these warm-up preseason cupcakes, you know, early on. And Georgia Tech was one of those teams that had some guys on their schedule. But you have to ask yourself, does it really truly prepare you once you get inside and start playing your conference games? And we see it for right now for Georgia Tech, you know, that's not happening. And this is a team last year who just, you know, I mean, just a couple of plays away from beating and challenging Florida State to now seeing what they're putting, you know, on tape right now. I didn't see this for them because Alcorn State, Tulane State, everyone's loving you up. You're scoring 60-plus points. But like you said, then comes the gamut. Notre Dame, Duke, North Carolina, and people continue to sleep on Duke, but I call him the Fighting Cutcliffe because David Cutcliffe has turned that program around. It is not the same, but, you know, things don't get any better for Paul Johnson and Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. But guess what? Deshaun Watson and Clemson is on deck. So it doesn't get easy, fella. It doesn't
no, it
get
doesn't.
Any easier.
And they're riding a high from beating Notre Dame this past weekend, man. And so, yeah, look out for that one.
Yes, definitely. And like I said, you got Clemson, and then there's Pittsburgh, but then there's Florida State. So it's not easy sledding for us. And, you know, unless they make a turnaround, this may be one of those years we don't have enough games to even qualify for a bowl game. But if you talk to some of the Georgia Tech alumni, they're upset, but they would be more upset if we lost that game November 28th against the rival and those Bulldogs. So they'd be more upset about that than a loss to Notre Dame or these three consecutive losses, I tell you that much.
Now, Nick, this might be the most important question of the night. How is Uncle Lester, and what did he do all summer?
you know what? That guy is hilarious because he's trying to chill out. He's trying to lose his stomach. He said he's trying to get into shape for next summer. So he's cut back on his fast food. He's looking out for his cholesterol because he feels as though his wife is trying to kill him because some of the rich food that she's making for him. But he's good, and you know sometimes you got to really talk to him and calm him down because you know it's Halloween season and he thrives in Halloween season scaring kids. So you know that's something that we definitely have to make sure we keep under wraps. But I'll be sure to pass along the fact that you guys asked about him.
That's good stuff, man. I always love hearing about Uncle Lester.
Yes. that guy is a character. My kids definitely love Uncle Lester, and they always ask when he's going to drop by. So we'll see if we can get Uncle Lester to come by the house for Halloween.
Nick Ferguson, you're doing so many great things. You've got your own radio show. You're doing good things for Sky Sports. You're all over the place. We appreciate your time tonight. And, hey, anytime you need us on your radio show, please let either one of us know. We'd be happy to come on and help you out.
Well, I will definitely be sure to call upon you guys, the Double Express. Choo-choo, baby. Choo-choo.
I love it, man. I love it. There
you
goes.
Can follow Nick on Twitter at @NickFerguson_25. @NickFerguson_25. Nick Ferguson, former NFL player. Appreciate your time tonight.
All right. Thank you, fellas. You take it easy.
All right. You too, man.
Good luck.
There goes Nick Ferguson. And man, I tell you, I didn't mean to get his ire there, bringing up Georgia Tech. If it was any consolation, boy, the Auburn Tigers are not having that great of a year as well. Something going on down there in the South has got to get better. Now, we've got a special guest for you when we return. Guest number three here on The Double. We've got Chase Senior coming at you, so keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on The Double with the Double S Express.
I'm gonna hop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a comer. This is awesome.
Are you tired of the gym scene in Tri-Cities, Washington? Tired of seeing all those ridiculous gym selfies? If you are ready to work on a better you, Power Alley Performance is the place you can reach your goals. From one-on-one personal training to group fitness sessions, the trainers at Power Alley Performance will help motivate you every step of the way. Trainers DJ and Lamont have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they are ready to share with you. Call Power Alley today at 509-554-4785 and tell them the Double S Express sent you for a complimentary half-hour session. Visit PowerAlleyPerformance.com.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product. Helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night, and wake up feeling great in the morning. Try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy. Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you fell with the first flame. Yeah.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. And we've got a third guest tonight, the trifecta. Let's go out to Springfield, Illinois, and welcome in Chase Sr. to the show. Thanks for your time tonight, Chase.
Thanks for having me on, fellas. I appreciate it.
Well, hey, Chase, let's get right to it, man. We'll go to NFL football. And now, are you a Chicago Bears fan?
No, I am not. I'm actually from the Philadelphia area, so Philadelphia Eagles fan. Unfortunately for myself, the city of Philadelphia and the Eagles, things are not looking too bright right now, and it's been a really rough start to the season. But if I were a Bears fan, it'd be even worse. So I guess I'm in a better position than a lot of Chicagoans.
Well, now, if I mention the name Caleb Sturgis to you, what comes to mind? Keep it clean.
I hope that Eagles send him out of town. But Chip Kelly came out today, actually, and said that they are sticking with Caleb Sturgis, who virtually cost the Eagles 4 points yesterday, which would have made up the difference for them winning that game against the Redskins. But I'll tell you what, man, I mean, it's a bad time for kickers in the NFL because they had a terrible day yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I'd mentioned that early in the show. There were 11 kickers that missed field goals, and I think this is what the NFL wanted, is they wanted a little bit more suspense in the extra point. But who knew that a lot of these guys would miss, you know, field goals outside of the extra point?
I wouldn't have wanted to be a kicker on a flight home yesterday, coming back from a road trip, knowing that my job could be out on the line after having such a porous day. Caleb Sturgis had to have hit one of them for the Eagles. There was many of them throughout the NFL. It's a tough job, and we're seeing why, because these guys are really struggling this year.
I must have lost Sean there. But now, of course, you do some things as far as play-by-play is concerned, and you're also a reporter, and that's in the that's Central Illinois Sports. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So I've done a lot of play-by-play in the past. With my current job, I'm not doing as much play-by-play. But when I was with Sean and Global Basketball in Vegas, I was doing play-by-play. During my time at Temple University, I did some play-by-play and color commentating for Temple University, their football teams and their basketball teams. But here at Channel 1450, which is where I work, they're part of Neuhoff Media, and we cover Central Illinois high school sports pretty extensively. And I'm doing everything from TV work to radio work. So I'm getting my hands full with a lot of different facets.
Now, Chase, you mentioned Global Basketball Summer League that we met and worked together there in Las Vegas in July. It was a great time, and you did a fabulous job both as play-by-play, as an analyst, and also doing reporting. Now, how big of a decision was it? Obviously, a huge step for you to make, to leave the Philadelphia area and take this job in Central Illinois?
I knew that trying to get into this industry would possibly require me to have to move somewhere in the United States. And getting in the broadcast journalism field has been a dream of mine since I was such a young kid. I've been so passionate and exuberant about just sports media. So I knew that it was going to be required for me to possibly move somewhere. And when I was granted this opportunity to work for Channel 1450 and Neuhoff Media, I didn't even really think twice about it. I jumped right on it. And I was all about the opportunity. And I'm really glad that that I ended up moving out here, because I'm having a great time. I'm working with a couple of great guys. And the fact that as a broadcaster or as a reporter or as a journalist, you can have such an impact on society and as a community is very rewarding, and I'm definitely experiencing that right now.
Did your week with Global Basketball, did that teach you anything and help you land this job at all?
I think so for sure, because I've gone on a lot of road trips before, and I've lived solo throughout my years of college and after high school, but that was my first true business trip, and I had to conduct myself in a professional manner because there were professional scouts, executives, coaches, and players out there in Las Vegas for the Global Basketball Summer League, and I was there to do a job. I wasn't out there to hit the slot machines and hit the strip and have fun. I was there to work, and I took it very seriously. I worked my tail off, and I kind of learned that, okay, if I want to get into this business, this is how I'm going to have to conduct myself, and these are the early mornings and late nights that I'm going to have to encounter in the future. I did a lot of that throughout my years at college at Temple University in Philly, but that kind of reinforced the point that, you know, if you want to be in this industry, you have to work really hard, and you have to be willing to make sacrifices, and that's exactly what I did when I went out there to Las Vegas.
Chase Sr. joining us here on The Double. Man, I've got to tell you, that name right there is a sports writer's dream name, and here you're doing play-by-play and man, that's, and a reporter. That's awesome, man. I love the name.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Now, there you go. Be sure to tell mom and dad, hey, thanks for the cool name.
I will, for sure.
Now, what would be a dream job for you? I mean, of course, you'd mentioned being at Temple and you know, being from Philadelphia. What is your ultimate dream job as far as being in media?
I looked up to so many sportscasters, so I could go on and on about guys that I kind of just really enjoy watching and listening to. But a couple guys that really come to mind are guys like Scott Van Pelt and Rich Eisen, Dan Patrick, Ryan Russillo, Colin Coward. Those type of guys are guys who worked both in television and also radio. So they kind of get the two sides of the broadcasting industry because they are kind of two different mediums. But at the same time, you know, they require the same type of skill sets and they really work off one another. So down the road, I would love to do both sports television and sports radio at the same time and kind of have a job in both fields, kind of like the aforementioned names that I just threw out there. And it would be awesome to be at a national network. I think that's what everybody kind of shoots for. But if I could be in the top media market, like Philadelphia or anywhere across the United States with a network like Comcast Sportsnet, and focus on some local teams too, I think that would be very rewarding as well. So this is my first step. I'm trying to take the necessary steps to get to where I want to be, and that's doing both TV and radio because I have such a passion for both.
Now, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot a little bit here, so brace yourself. So now, how could you or what do you have that could reinvent the game as far as, you know, being a broadcaster is concerned?
I'm always willing to adapt, and I'm always willing to learn new tricks of the trade. So I'm always trying to evolve myself and build my skill set so that I'm ready for everything. I like to think that what I bring to the table is kind of an old-school traditional style, yet at the same time, I think that because of my age and because of my interest in pop culture and hip-hop and the latest music, that I'm also, quote-unquote, hip and up-to-date with recent trends. So that kind of mixture right there, I think, will always keep my type of style refreshed with the demographic out there that enjoys tuning in to the work that I am doing now and the work that I will continue to do.
Well, Chase, I can tell you firsthand from working with you at the Global Basketball Summer League in Las Vegas, you have a bright future ahead of you. You've got great command of your own presence on camera and on the mic, and you know what you're doing. And speaking of the Global Basketball Summer League, something that just shows how small the world is. A name you probably will remember, one of the better players from that summer league, Chris Hike, played in that summer league. Second year he's been there. I've been with him for 2 years now in Las Vegas. Ironically, he is now on the World All-Stars, a member of the team that I coach against, the Harlem Globetrotters. So it's just crazy how he was tearing up the Global Basketball Summer League, and now Chris Hike is on my squad.
That's amazing. I mean, it really shows that the Global Basketball Summer League is such an important platform for players to kind of display their skill set. You never really know who's watching you at those games because there's often so many people in attendance. And I remember him vividly. He was a really good offensive player. He had an array of moves on the offensive side of the court, and he could score it in a hurry. And he was one of the more entertaining players when it comes to putting the biscuit in the basket at the Global Basketball Summer League. So I'm sure he's going to help you out a lot, and he's not going to make you scratch your head too many times when you're coaching.
Now, Jace, this is the question that all of us want to know here on the Double with the Double S Express. And so what kind of worker was Sean Wally, and how was he to work with?
He was just a straight-up bum. I'm just kidding. Sean Wally was the guy who showed up early and always left late, and I could always tell that he was very passionate about the work that he was doing. He knew that what he was doing was going to be shared with hundreds and thousands of people, and he recognized that, and always came to work. Unfortunately for him, though, he got a little sick on that Vegas trip. I'm not sure if he was out on the strip a little too hard one night, but he was sick a couple days.
Chase, you know that was legit. What are you throwing under me the bus for, buddy?
I know. I saw you cuddled up in that bed in the hotel room.
Oh, man. It sounds like some fun times down there in Vegas.
Oh, man. Well, gentlemen, I'm taken aback and shocked to say we have a contest here in the final 2 minutes of Monday Night Football. Chase, you got a prediction, Seahawks or Lions?
I'm going Seahawks. I don't think it's even going to be close. I think Matthew Stafford, he's shown that he can be an elite quarterback, but I think he's in the wrong offense. He's got a ton of weapons, but when you're hesitant in the pocket, you can't get those weapons to football. And I think the Seahawks, even though they're without Marshawn Lynch, I think that defense has come to play with Cam Chancellor back, and they're really starting to find a groove. So I'm going to Seattle.
Well, I definitely, as a Seattle fan, of course, I hope you're right.
I'm sure you like
Seattle's up 13-10 at the moment, but the Lions are in the red zone with 2 minutes to play in Seattle. Chase Senior from Springfield, Illinois, thank you so much for your time tonight. Best of luck in your career, buddy.
Yeah, good
Thanks
luck
for
to you, Chase.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Take care, all right?
All right, you too.
There goes Chase Senior doing good things on the high school sports scene in Central Illinois.
Man, you have come across some cool people working in global basketball. And of course, you know, that goes without saying. But, you know, man, I mean, gosh, I got to get down there definitely next year. You keep telling me to do that. And, you know, that's going to be on the agenda.
Well, Sean, get this one. I got a phone call today from a 2-time former On the Double guest and former Global Basketball Summer League player Brandon Hogg, which was a little bit unusual. I mean, we stay in touch every 3 to 6 months, but I was like, wow, Brandon Hogg's calling me. What's going on? So I answer the phone, and he was like, Wally. I'm like, yeah, what's up, buddy? He's like, hey, so I hear that Chris Hike is on your team, and you're coaching Chris Hike. Because they're buddies, and they worked out for a month straight together in the summer, and now Brandon is trying to get involved as well with the World All-Stars. So it'd be a lot of fun to have Brandon in as well.
Hey, that little bit of fame that you have, man. See, people are pulling at you. Philip Buchanan was right. New money. They're coming out of the woodwork, Sean Wally. Look out.
Most definitely. It's crazy how small the world can be sometimes. And, you know, people that you saw for 3, 4, 5 days once, and then a year or two later, they're coming back full circle.
Now, of course, you just got back from the East Coast, Long Island, and you had some training that was going on. And of course, you put that to wax, if you will, at Stony Brook College. And, of course, the World All-Stars taking center stage against the Harlem Globetrotters. How was that?
Oh, it was excellent. The crowd was amazing, and it was great to get my squad together for the World All-Stars, and Chris Hike being one of them. And it was a great time. You know, both teams showed out, balled out for the fans, and that's what it's all about, and kicked off the 90th year, 90th celebration for the Harlem Globetrotters. And be sure to get out to a city near you when the tours start on December 26th going into 2016. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, it is a lot of fun. And, of course, I had mentioned this before here on the double. You go down in the history books. And, of course, man, there should be a Wikipedia on your name. You are the last head coach of the Washington Generals and the first head coach of the World All-Stars. Man, that says a lot, my friend.
Well, hey, it's a lot of fun. And I've been blessed for the opportunity. And it's going to be a lot of fun for us on the tour starting Christmas Day when we fly out and leave home. And man, it's all kinds of new territory I get to explore. The Northeast, I will be hitting anywhere from Pittsburgh to Cleveland, Cincinnati, Boston, you name it, on up into Nova Scotia, Toronto, all over the Northeast.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely make sure that we wish you safe travels on that. And, man, there's some, you know, some great things coming up for you. So, hey, man, we, goodness, this has been an action-packed show. We've had three awesome guests on the show. And, yeah, give us a little rundown on our special guest tonight.
Well, Sean, one thing I want to ask you before we get out of here. Oh, man, the Detroit Lions giving the Seahawks a little bit of a heart attack, but it looks like Calvin Johnson fumbled into the end zone. So we'll see what the call is there in Seattle, the end of Monday Night Football. But what do you think what happened in Santa Clara of one Clay Matthews for the Packers telling Colin Kaepernick, "You're no Russell Wilson, bro"?
Well, yeah, of course, that's you know, Clay Matthews getting in the head of Colin Kaepernick, no doubt. And really, there's no need for anybody to get in the head of Colin Kaepernick. He's in his own head. You know, we knew that this was going to happen as soon as Jim Harbaugh left the organization and as soon as Trent Baalke and Jed York started uttering all these crazy things on how they wanted to build this solid franchise with character. Well, they did all of those things. They lied to the people. They lied to the, you know, the 49er faithful. And this is what you get. You know, you have a you know, basically half of your defense retiring for whatever reason. And gee whiz, man. I mean, it is a travesty in San Francisco. I'm amazed that they got the win from the Minnesota Vikings. And I don't see them getting a win anytime soon, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's remarkable how great they looked week one against the Vikings, and now they look like they couldn't beat a Pee Wee League team there in San Francisco.
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing because, you know, for one, the Super Bowl is there in Santa Clara. You know, you would think that there would be some type of fight in this football team because they are NFL players. But right now, I don't see any of that at all. I see a lot of dejection. I see Troy Smith and Aquan Boldin that are just frustrated as all can get as far as, you know, Colin Kaepernick not hitting them as, you know, strong targets. You have Vernon Davis that's injured, and you just have a non-existent offense. This has been something that's not only been going on this year, it's been going on for the past couple of years that they've struggled to score. It's just glaring right now because, you know, they don't have a defense to actually back them up.
Sean, we haven't been able to touch too much on Monday Night Football tonight because of our three big-time guests keeping us busy. But, wow, I know you saw what's going on in Seattle with Johnson about to score the go-ahead touchdown. Calvin Johnson for the Lions and one Bam Bam Cam punching the ball out before he crosses the goal line. Ball goes out of bounds, turnover to the Seahawks as a touchback. Talk about a saving grace for Seattle.
Yeah, you know, it's a part of Seattle and that lucky rabbit's foot that they've had over the past couple of years. There's still a little dust that they're dusting off on it, and it's actually working out for them.
And on the flip side, the Lions, you know, every time you think they're going to do something right, something quirky happens just like that. And now here they are, probably looking at a loss unless they can stop the Seahawks here and or get a turnover.
You know, the way Seattle is, they'll always find a way to get the first down, and they do. And so this is a lock for them with this victory here. Jermaine Kearse with the catch.
Russell Wilson once again finding ways to extend the play, get out of the pocket, find the open receiver, and that probably will do it. Looks like a second victory for the Seahawks prime time here on Monday Night Football.
You know, this is one of the things that we talked about, or that you had mentioned to me yesterday, as far as any given Sunday. You know, as far as the Seattle Seahawks are concerned, let's face it, they are a perennial team and a team to beat. But there are no laydowns, and I'm getting a kick out of my Facebook as all of these Seahawks fans that thought it was going to be a blowout, another blowout, you know, that Detroit was coming into town and it's the Legion of Boom and all of this stuff. Look, teams aren't scared of Seattle anymore. So it's going to be an uphill battle for them for the rest of the year. This was, even though Seattle has pulled this one out, this was a call out to the Seattle Seahawks for the rest of the NFL to say that this is a team that can be beat. And, you know, I look forward to seeing how Seattle can actually bounce back from this. They dodged a bullet. They're now 500. But it's going to be a long season. I can see that already.
Well, next week is extremely intriguing for me because Seattle travels to the red-hot Cincinnati Bengals, and that's a 10 a.m. start, which most West Coast teams don't do very well with. But it's going to be very interesting to see if Seattle can bring it offensively, because that was the problem tonight. Defense was playing Legion of Boom football all the way to the end when you had Cam Chancellor knocking the ball away from Calvin Johnson, but they really only gave up 3 points all night.
Yeah, this isn't anything new.
The touchdown was a Wilson fumble that was ran back by Detroit's defense. So that being said, Seattle's offense skidding right now, whereas it seemed to hit strides last week against the Bears, but not so much here tonight.
Yeah, well, actually, when you look at that game against the Bears, there were only two touchdowns scored. And as I had mentioned, that Hauschka had almost half of the points for the Seattle Seahawks. So there are some things that Seattle has to work out. But this isn't anything new. It's always been about the defense. And that's what makes Russell Wilson as good as he is. He's only as good as his defense. And so when the defense is clicking, then it allows him to make mistakes. Two fumbles tonight, one back for a score. Those are things that they can easily fix. But when you're talking about a perennial offense, that hasn't been Seattle. They've been methodical, but they're not a team that can actually put up lots of points. It's all defensive driven.
I wouldn't jump off that bridge saying they can't put up the points. I mean, they put up 31 in week one.
Yeah, so. Well, they put up the points in week one, but Seattle is not a team that is known for putting up tremendous amounts of points. It has to be the way that Seattle scores their points is based on their defense. It's a short field game. Seattle always has the short field because of the defense. That's always been the case. That's not a knock on Seattle's offense. That's just saying that, hey, your defense is better, and that's what carries you.
Week four in the NFL in the books. Some teams happy with how they're playing right now. Other teams are not. Of course, Miami not thrilled. That's why Joe Philbin is out of a job as head coach. Man, week to week, you never really know what's going to happen. Because look at the Niners. They won week one, and since then, they've done not much. So you never know what's going to happen. And that's why there was a movie called Any Given Sunday.
Hey, I just want to know and take a look at the schedule next year and see if San Francisco's heading to London. hey, maybe I don't think Tom Sula. Well, you know, he'll probably make it through the year. They'll give him another chance. But man, it's just horrible stuff.
Speaking of the Niners, there's an intriguing Thursday night game coming up in a couple weeks down there in Santa Clara that you might be a part of. I think you already are, and maybe both of us. We'll see what happens.
Well, the Seattle Seahawks come down to play a beleaguered 49ers team, and boy, I just see a romp going on with, you know, as far as Seattle just coming down here and smacking on the 49ers, but you know, I don't know. You know, it's going to be a week-to-week deal with Colin Kaepernick. There's been murmurs that, you know, they might, you know, take a look at, you know, some other options. Here's one thing. So you have Terrell Pryor, who was released from the Cleveland Browns as a wide receiver, coming into 49ers camp this week, trying out as a wide receiver. But when you think about the style of offense that Terrell Pryor is known for and good at, it is that spread offense that the San Francisco 49ers like to run. And who knows, man, he could be, you know, one of those package deals that, you know, this could be a rejuvenation of his career.
Well, he was also in Seattle for some reason. I'm not sure what the Seahawks were trying him out as, but I did note on one of the sports tickers that he was trying out in Seattle as well. So apparently he hit most of the teams on the West Coast.
Yeah. So, you know, that stay tuned for that one, man. But yeah, in a couple of weeks, Seattle against San Francisco, which 2 years ago, this would have been circled as one of the big games of the week or of the year in the NFL. But man, I just see it being a laugher.
Well, Sean, Friday I will be in Walla Walla, Washington, running camera for SWX, a high school football game there in Walla Walla. And then Sunday you'll be back working for NFL football.
Yeah, so, you know, I will. This is slated to be a big game before the bye week. And, you know, if the Raiders would have took care of business against Chicago, which it was, you know, I mean, they struggled. They actually struggled. And you have to expect this, the ups and downs of a team that's trying to find their identity and present themselves as a team to beat in the NFL. The Oakland Raiders, you know, had that low. And so now they're going in 2-2 facing the Denver Broncos, the undefeated Denver Broncos. It's still going to be a big game at O.co, and it's going to be rocking, man.
Well, Sean, it's been a good show. Big time thank you to our big time guest tonight, two former NFL players, Philip Buchanan, one-time Raider draft pick in 2002, and of course, Nick Ferguson, one of our favorite guests here on The Double, and then Chase Sr., who I met at the Global Basketball Summer League in Las Vegas, doing good things for high school sports in Central Illinois, Springfield, to be exact.
Yeah, man, awesome show with the three big-time guests. And, boy, we're ready to wrap this one up, huh? We went a little extra, Don. Thanks, man. Our just the best engineer that you can possibly have. And so we thank you for letting us go a little extra here on The Double on Monday night against Monday Night Football. Of course, Sean Wally, I know that you are excited. Seahawks winning on Monday night, 13-10, week number 5 coming up. So make sure you have all your fantasy leagues and pick'ems and everything put together. Yours truly, I will be taking a big step into DraftKings. And so I'm looking forward to that, man.
So, yeah, you enjoy that because it's not exactly legal up here in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, I'll let you know how it goes, man. So, man, this is show number 123, I believe, man. And as we always say on The Double, man, you're not in the game unless you take a shot. And when you take a shot, we hope it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. Awesome three guests tonight. And for Sean Wally up in the Pacific Northwest, Sean Boyd down here, yours truly in the EG Studios, Don Newsom, our engineer. And a special thanks to our producer of the week, Alicia Flores. Man, you've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express, bringing in nothing but great sports. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday
for some more great sports talk and big-time guests on The Double with the Double S Express.